Father God, we how privileged we are to gather and to open your word. How blessed we are to be in the presence of the one that bears that name. Lord, as we open your word this morning, speak to us. May we hear what you have to say through your word, through your words. May we each hear your voice speaking to us as a congregation, but also us as individuals, so that we all might hear the same words, but the very specific nature of it for each of us. Lord, if you're calling us into something, if you're calling us to do something, to go somewhere or to say something, Lord, may we hear that, and may we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing where we left off last week. We are going to be in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. John 21, the first 14 verses. This is a chronicling of the, other than his appearances, this is the one miracle that Jesus is recorded having done after his resurrection. This miraculous catch of fish that he offers to the seven followers of him. So as you're finding your way into John 21, I'm going to read a parallel story that took place at the very beginning of his ministry. This comes from Luke 5. You just can rest there in John 21. I'd just like you to hear these details. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also called the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." This was the introduction to Jesus by some of these followers, including James and John, who were Peter's partners in the fishing business. And one of four main miracles that Jesus took part in that has something to do with boats and water. This was at the very beginning, and then later on would come the time when Jesus was taking a nap in the front of the boat, and this great storm arose and scared his followers, and they cried out to him. Jesus was there in the boat. They cried out to him and said, "We're going to drown." And Jesus responded, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you afraid?" And then he said to the storm, "Be still." And then there came a time when the disciples were out in the boat, middle of the night. The wind and the waves were against the boat, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus called Peter, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk. And we know the rest of that story as Peter began to sink and cried out to Jesus, and Jesus pulled him up. And then we have this story in John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is also, by the way, the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, who were James and John, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter said to them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, "Haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord," as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. What an interesting story, and what an interesting parallel to that first meeting some 3 years before with this miraculous catch of fish, and some very interesting differences between those two. But to start off looking again a little phrase by phrase through this, many believe that John wrote this chapter sometime after, sort of as an epilogue to this. But remember last week we heard that John said these things were written, these things, in these first 20 chapters, these things were written, so you might believe. And now, after these things, Jesus appeared again. There's some striking differences between this, again, and the Luke story, which is not the same story. It was about 3 years apart. Jesus had first met these disciples, and first calling them out, this is where he said, "I will make you fishers of men." This is that story in Luke. One of the most striking things, I think, is that when Jesus offers them another opportunity or a suggestion to go out, Peter kind of rebels. He goes ahead. He has some respect for this guy. This Jesus is a teacher. People are listening to him. But he's like, "Okay, because you say so, I'll do it. But I want you to know, we've been doing this all night long." And there was some respect, I think, in his voice. I think probably inside he was saying, "Listen, carpenter boy, I'm a professional fisherman. Been doing this all my life. If I want help making a table, I'll call you, but this is what I do." And I get that. Guys, you know, when you're in the middle of doing something that you know how to do, and you know how to do it well, and somebody comes and, "Did you try?" You don't want to hear it, right? You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing, so you don't like this. So we understand Peter's response. But that's when he knew who that man was standing on the boat. Now, 3 years later, we get no response like that. When this guy, they don't know that it's Jesus, yells out, "Just drop your nets on the other side," they do it. And I think this is an important little fact here. I think 3 years with Jesus changed their personalities. I think 3 years with Jesus didn't just make them obedient to Jesus because they didn't realize it was Jesus. It just made them a little less rebellious to the rest of the human population on the earth. Time with Jesus takes off some of our rough edges. Time with Jesus softens us up a little bit. They were still working hard. It didn't take away their capability to work. They were still working hard, but it took that off. And so they do it. He does it. And something else, as I look through those times, those miracles that took place around the water, I find it interesting that in the first story in Luke, that Jesus, who's teaching, and there's a crowd, and the water's behind him, and I kind of get the image that the crowd's gathering, and he's kind of running out of room, so he climbs into a boat, and they push off a little bit, so he can so everyone can see and hear. He climbs in the boat with Peter and the others, and he begins to teach. And then the second story, when the calming of the storm, Jesus is also in the boat with them, but he's taking a nap. He's letting them do some stuff, and they lose faith a little bit. But they know who to call on. And they call on Jesus. And then the third story, where Jesus is walking on the water, he's not around the boat at all. Peter's in the boat. He calls Peter out of the boat. Come. I'm going to show you a new thing you can do. Watch this. And he calls him out of the boat. And then in this final story in John, he, now fully aware, Jesus fully aware of what Peter is doing, doesn't engage at all at first. And when he does engage, it's from over here. It's from 100 yards away, and he yells out just some instruction, just some encouragement. But you can do this. Watch what happens. And I think we see here some growth and a pattern of growth of Jesus' connection and teaching and Jesus' presence, but allowing. And then Jesus calling out sort of a challenge and an offering to try something new. And then Jesus' assurance that you can do it. Even though you don't know I'm here even, but you can do what I've called you to do. And so back into John. After these things happened, they go fishing. I've read some comments that they thought that disciples here had given up on their apostleship and just gone back to work. I don't believe that. They were in that time that they were told to wait. They were waiting for that arrival of the Holy Spirit that was to come at Pentecost. They didn't know that's what it was going to look like, but they were in that time in between. And in those times in between, short of doing something that's against God's word, it's okay to go to work. It's okay to go and do. It's okay to toil. It's okay to earn one's keep. They didn't just go and sit. They had families to feed, some of them. They had themselves to feed. So what did they do? They do what they knew how to do. They went fishing. But to no avail. And then they see somebody on the shore, which wasn't unusual, and he yells out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat." Now this is interesting too. In the first story, they're in shallow water, and Jesus told them to put out into deep water. In this story, they're in shallow water, and he just tells them to try the other side of the boat. Now each time, they got the results that he was going to give them, with the instructions being different, and with making no sense, and where they had already tried. I know darn well they had tried the right side of the boat. And I know in the first story they had been in the deep water. Anybody that's ever fished at all, if you stand for 20 minutes and you're not getting anything here, what do? You turn this way, right? You're going to try something else. You know they had tried it. But whatever the instructions are coming from Jesus, if you'll follow them, regardless of what your experience tells you, regardless of what your logic tells you, if you follow God's instruction, you will get the results God promises. Even if it doesn't make any sense. And when you think it can't be done, when the task looks too big, when that person will never talk to you about Jesus, they'll never listen about Jesus, whenever you've tried and tried and tried to no avail, when you've done all that you know how to do, when you've given every bit of your professional expertise to a situation, all your effort, all your muscle, all your strength, when you've given all of that there and still failed, but you hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Try it again," success is around the corner. See, when Jesus enters the picture, things change. When Jesus is involved, things change. They had done all they knew how to do. Lifetime professional fishermen had done all that they knew how to do. And they came up empty-handed, literally. But the voice of Jesus giving instruction changed everything. Changed everything. And their nets were full. And in the first story, 3 years before, when the nets got full, they began to break. And here, the nets do not break. Because with their maturity came capability and reliance on God. And when God is involved, we don't lose anything. When God is involved, we don't lose anything. See, if the nets break, you start to lose fish. But when God is involved, we don't lose anything. As soon as they get all these fish, John, he refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved, but that's John. He said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And Peter, in a brief moment, but an important moment of respect, covers himself. He had stripped down to his undergarments because he was working. He covers himself out of respect for Jesus and leaps out of the boat. And I love Peter. If Jesus is somewhere, Peter wants to be there. He wants to go where Jesus is. Where can I find out something about Jesus? I'm going. Anybody else would say, let's get the boat to shore. Let's turn around and get there. Not Peter. He jumps out of the boat. And I can't help but wonder for a brief second when he leapt over the edge if he was maybe hoping that he would land on top. Didn't happen. But Peter is going to Jesus with all he has. He heads to shore. And the rest soon follow in the boat, and they come along. And when they get there, there's Jesus has made them breakfast. Fish and bread. And then tells them to bring the fish that they've caught, even though he's already provided for them. And I think there's a message in this as well, that Jesus will provide for us, but we have to keep working. Jesus will provide for us in the present and in the future. Because they were both fish of Jesus' provision. He was providing them for them in the present, and he was providing for them for the future. And then he says, and this verse says, come and have breakfast. But the translation is, come and break your fast. Which is where we get the word breakfast. Come and break your fast. So, in the very literal sense, he was saying, come and eat. It's time for the morning meal. But I think he was also saying, stop not receiving. Stop not getting. Break your fast. The fast is when we stop receiving. He's saying, it's time to receive. It is time to receive. Yes, this food, but also all that I have to give to you. The Holy Spirit's coming in a new way. Break your fast. Stop putting things off and receive all that I have to give to you. Then it says, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Randy and I were talking earlier today about Jesus' body post-resurrection. It was a real body. It was a glorified body, but it was a real body, flesh and blood and bone, and he ate, and he could walk through walls, and he could show up and disappear. It was somehow different, but it was still him, but different enough that he was hard to recognize. And yet, they knew it was the Lord. And I would say, and this is also a very important message for us. We can have expectations about what Jesus is going to look like. And we can have thoughts and ideas about how to do things. But it's only by intimate fellowship. It's only by coming and breaking our fast, coming and dining, coming and receiving what he offers us, that we can really see who Jesus is. And we can respond and do the things that he's calling us to do. it may not look like what we think it would look like. It may not look like our expectations. But Jesus is real and living and involved with our lives. And if we'll come to Him and have that intimate fellowship, which is where they ended up. They started in obedience and they came into intimate fellowship with Him. And they knew it was the Lord. And this is what we offer to others. Not some painting, not some postcard of Jesus, not some tried and true image of anything, but just come and see. Come and let Jesus show you who He is. Just come with me. Come and sit down with Him. Let Him show you who He is. And then you'll know that it's the Lord. And then we go and we do. Then we go and we work. Our participation in God's work is a blessing for us. But we have to participate for the fish to get caught. I don't always understand what that connection is, but there is a connection between what God does and what we're called to do. And it's all through Scripture. You can go back to Judges and the little guy who didn't think he was enough. Gideon didn't think he was enough, but when he led them in the battle after he got rid of almost everybody in his army, what did they shout out? A sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Our participation is vital. Jesus could have made those fish leap into the boat. He could have made those fish leap on the shore. He's God. He rules over creation. But their participation was vital. And again, it's to show us that when He calls us into work, we have to do what He calls us to do to see the results. Jesus did a great part of that work, but they had to do part as well. Jesus provided the fish. They had to throw the nets out and draw them back in. And church, there's fish everywhere. Everywhere. Are you praying? Are we praying for an abundant catch? Is that our prayer? And I'm not talking about a large attendance on Sunday mornings at 119 West Camden Wyoming Avenue. I'm not talking about a large number of people here. I'm talking about an abundant catch for the kingdom. Is that our prayer? That we would go out together and throw those nets and pray for God to fill them. And then with our work and God's provision, bring them in to shore. I hope that's our prayer. I hope that's our prayer. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He was talking to them, and He's talking to us. Let us pray. Let us pray for an abundant catch. Let us not be frustrated or depressed when we pull the nets up time after time and they're empty. Let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. And when the time is right, when the time is right, watch what God does. I've been lately, and I believe I've mentioned him here, the first missionary to Burma. Adoniram Judson was his name. Uprooted his wife, newly married, and went to Burma. And for 6 years, he preached. 6 years without a single convert. 6 years. You got to know that God's calling you if after 6 years, you're still at it. But when he died, 250,000 in the kingdom. Keep praying. Keep toiling. Keep working. Watch and see what God does. Amen.